Good morning to all of you. We are continuing with our Bible study on the overview of the books of the Bible. And we will continue where we left last time. If you remember, the last time our study was the book of Song of Solomon. And I have given you a classification of how the books in the Old Testament are classified. It starts with the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Then we completed the history section. And then we looked at the wisdom books. And last week, Song of Solomon, we had an overview on that. And Pastor Ian took that study. Today we are going to move into the next segment, but what I am planning to do is, and I am not going to look at any particular book of the Bible, but just want to give you an idea of what those, what we call as prophets or prophetic books of the Old Testament. So many Christians, when they hear the word prophet, they think that the prophet is someone who simply predicts the future, or much like a fortune teller. While it's true that prophets in the Old Testament foretold the future, their primary job was not foretelling, but forthtelling. That is to speak for God to their own contemporaries. Even when the prophets spoke about the future, it was mostly about the immediate future of Israel, Judah, and the other nations which were surrounding those nations than what is happening in the 21st century. So that was not the things which the prophets were speaking about. So, though the prophet spoke about the future, it was about Israel and Judah in that particular setting. Therefore, when we look at this passage, all the books of the comes under the prophets, we will see that the times which the prophet spoke, which were future, now, as far as we are concerned, it looks as past because those days are over. So, the first thing is, when you think of prophets, don't think of something which is going to happen thousands of years ago. That is what they were not speaking. They were speaking to the contemporaries, and sometimes they would speak about the future also, but mostly it was to the contemporaries about what was going to happen to them. It was forthtelling and not foretelling. Now, as far as the Bible is concerned, when we look at the prophets, we see two types of prophets. One is called the oral prophets, and the other is called the writing prophets, and our focus will be on the writing prophets. Now, what does it mean by oral prophet, and what I mean by writing prophets? For instance, in the Old Testament, when you look at right from the book of Genesis onwards, you see that God spoke to people chosen by Him, and some of the people were not even named. It will be called an old prophet or a young prophet. Some of the prophets were never named. But there were some prophets who were named, like Elijah, Elisha, and Nathan. Do you know which book was written by Elijah? Or which book was written by Elisha or Nathan? No. We know that Elijah and Elisha, mighty prophets of God, but they did not write any book in the Old Testament. So, these prophets are classified as oral prophets. But on the other hand, we see 16 prophets. These prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, and if you go on, there are 16 prophets who wrote books And in case of Jeremiah, he wrote too, the book of Jeremiah as well as Lamentation. So, what we have is, there are prophets who are oral prophets, there are prophets who are known as writing prophets, and the writing prophets wrote 16 books, or not 16 books, 17 books, and that is the focus of our study is going to be. We'll be looking at those books in the weeks to come. Now, even among the writing prophets, certain classifications can be done. There were prophets of Israel. That is, these prophets were living in Israel, or they were prophesying about what is happening in Israel, what is going to happen to the nation. There were prophets like Jonah. There were prophets like Amos and Hosea. They were prophets of Israel. On the other hand, there were prophets like Obadiah, Joel, Isaiah, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. These prophets were prophets of Judah. And you can again make another classification: exilic prophets. That is, prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They were writing during the exile or just prior to the exile. And there were also prophets who were writing after the exile, that is post-exilic prophets. They were writing to the people who were coming out of the exile. So, when we look at the prophetic books, you can see that they can be looked at from various angles. They can be looked at as prophets of Israel. They can be looked at as prophets of Judah. They can be looked at prophets or exilic prophets. They can be looked at as post-exilic prophets. So, all these come into play when you look at these prophets. Now, as I have classified, some are called major prophets and some are called minor prophets. Okay? You see Isaiah is there, Jeremiah is there, Ezekiel is there, and Daniel is there. So, these four men are called major prophets, and there are other 12 men who are called minor prophets. What do we mean by major prophets or minor prophets? In fact, the Bible doesn't say major prophets or minor prophets. It is the Bible scholars who have classified that as major prophets and minor prophets. What does it mean? What is major? What is minor? Is the message of the major prophets very important and the message of the minor prophets less important? Why do we call this major prophets? Why do we call some as minor prophets? The simple reason is, the major prophets, these books are large books. So many chapters, so many pages, so many scrolls. So, they are called major prophets. On the other hand, the smaller books of the Bible, the prophetic books, there will be hardly 4 chapters or 5 chapters or 3 chapters or something like that. They are called as minor prophets. And in fact, you can see there is one book called Lamentations, which I would not even say it's a big book, but it is a small book, but because it was written by Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Jeremiah, people classify that under the major prophets. So, these are some of the things which you probably may have learned during the Sunday school or your adult class, but something you have to know in mind, that there are oral prophets, there are writing prophets, there are major prophets, there are minor prophets, there are prophets to Judah, prophets to Israel, prophets, exilic prophets, post-exilic prophets, all these things are there. Now we are going to come to the most important thing which I want to tell you about the prophets. Now, the prophetic books, I think the first book would be Obadiah, I think. These books, if you look at your study Bible or some other commentary, they will give you an introduction to all those books. So, these books were written within a span of 300 years, from 760 BC to 460 BC, approximately within 300 years, all these books which we call as major prophets or minor prophets, all these books were written during the span of 300 years. Now, do you have any idea why there was a concentration of prophetic word during these 300 years? Why? Why God was raising so many prophets during these 300 years to write 17 books? What has happened during that period that makes such a collection of books? I think understanding the historical situation will enormously help us to understand the reason for so many books during that 300 years. Now, from the Old Testament, when you start with the book of Genesis, what do we see? We see God calling Abraham, and then God promises Abraham and his descendants about the land and about blessings. And this promise is repeated, not only mentioned to Abraham, promises repeated to Isaac, the promise is repeated to Jacob. And finally, what happens? Through Joseph, that is one of the 12 sons of Jacob, the Israelites finally end up in Egypt. They start well, but finally they become slaves in Egypt. And from there, they start the next travel journey. They come to the promised land. But as they enter the promised land, God is raising a prophet, Moses. And Moses binds the people to a covenant relationship with God. And that is what you see in the book of Deuteronomy, the covenant relationship. And in that book, you see, there are certain rules which the nation of Israel or the children of Israel had to keep. And if they keep the law, then there will be blessings. And if they do not keep the law of God, then there will be punishment. And one of the punishment is deportation. That is what we see in the book of Deuteronomy. And we also see that in Numbers, and also see something happening in the book of Exodus. All these things, we know that. So, what we see here, there is a covenant relationship God has made with the children of Israel. And as long as they keep to that relationship, the covenant, God has promised to bless them. But if they fail, if they go against that, then God had told them that they will be punished. And one of the things is deportation. Now, from Deuteronomy, we come to Joshua, then we come to Judges, book of Samuel, and then we come to the book of Kings. And as you come to the book of Kings, what do you find? The nation of Israel is not one nation anymore. It is not a united nation. It is now two nations. It is called Israel and it is called Judah. There are two nations there. And as you study the history of Israel and as you study the history of Judah, you find them, the Lord is punishing them, and they are losing the right to live in the promised land because the Israelites are breaking the covenant promises. And what you see, it starts with Israel or the northern kingdom. Israel was the first to fall into idolatry, and it was the first to go into exile. The Israelites, they are the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, they are the first to fall into idolatry, and they are destroyed very early by the Assyrians. That happens around 722 BC. Don't worry about the dates. Now, it is happening to Israel. They, because of the Assyrians, they go into exile. And who is watching them? Who is watching them? Judah. The nation of Judah, it consists of two tribes. They are watching what is happening to Israel. But though they watch what is happening to Israel, though they see that Israel, the 10 tribes go into exile, they do not change their life. and they are destroyed by the Babylonians. So as you come to the end of the book of 2 Kings, you find that Jerusalem is destroyed and the inhabitants of the southern kingdom or Judah, now they go into exile to Babylon. So the 10 tribes Israel, they go into exile because of the Assyrians. The Judah sees that, but he doesn't repent. The tribes of Judah, now they go into exile, and it is because of the Babylonians. Now what is happening here? There comes the prophet. Here comes the prophet during what is happening in this last span. What is happening in Israel? What is happening in Judah? These people are going against the covenant of God. And that is the time God is raising the prophets. So these prophets primarily come in the last thing or what is happening there. As these people are rebelling and going against the covenant promises, God is raising prophets. The prophets are God's spokesmen. And what these spokesmen are doing, they are calling the people back to covenant obedience. They warn the Israelites of the terrible punishment God has threatened them in the book of Deuteronomy. And that is recorded in the book of 2 Kings. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 17 verse 13 to 14, "Turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your fathers to obey, and that I deliver to you through my servants the prophets." So, as the nation of Israel and Judah, they are going into idolatry and they are going against the covenant of God, God is now raising prophets. So these prophets are God's spokesmen. These prophets are God's mediators, and through them God reminds the people that if they keep the law, blessing will result, and if they do not keep, curses will result. These prophets, they did not invent the blessings, or they did not invent the curses which they announced. There was nothing genuinely new in the message. In fact, the essence of the message is the same delivered by Moses. So when the prophets, whether it is the oral prophets or the writing prophets especially, when they are delivering a message or when they are writing, they are writing in the context of Deuteronomy, the theological context of Deuteronomy, and the historical context of an imminent invasion. And if those people are already there in the exile, they are again writing to them in the context of the exile. So these things are very important, especially when you come to the prophets. These 17 books, when you come to the prophets, you should know what is happening. What are the things which are happening? Why God is telling them? Why Prophet Obadiah is warning them? Why Prophet Nahum is saying that? Why Jeremiah is saying that? Or why Ezekiel, Daniel? Unless you have this idea, what is happening, then you'll be missing those points. So, as we see here, by this time the writing prophets come into place, the nation is now divided into Judah, Israel and Judah. And the first start, as I said, mentioned earlier, it was first Israel. And their disobedience outstripped anything which was known, yet known in Judah. And as they were going into exile, or they were about to go into exile, the man Amos comes into picture around 760 BC. And then it is Hosea who comes a little later, and God is warning through Amos and Hosea that the judgment was impending. And did the Israelites change? Did they repent? No, they did not repent. And what God raised the Assyrians as his instrument of judgment. And in 722 BC, the Assyrians sacked the capital of capital of Israel, it was Samaria, and thus Israel goes into exile. And Judah was seeing what was happening to Israel, and God is raising the prophet Isaiah, and God is raising the prophet Micah. Isaiah and Micah now are warning Israel, warning Judah. They are telling Judah that you are in the same road. You are going in the same road of destruction. What will happen to what happened to Israel will happen to you as well. And now what God is raising, not only prophets, God is also raising the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were God's instrument of judgment. So on one hand, God is raising the prophets like Isaiah and Micah to warn them. On the other hand, God is also raising the Babylonians as his instrument of judgment. Now there are more prophets who come into the picture. There is Nahum, there is Habakkuk, there are Zephaniah, and then there are Jeremiah, and all these prophets are prophesying. And now there are two important men. One is Ezekiel and Daniel. Do you know anything about Ezekiel and Daniel? Ezekiel and Daniel were taken to Babylon when this exile was happening. They were carried off. Daniel was first to go, and after that Ezekiel was followed him. Both were taken to Babylon. On the other hand, God left Jeremiah in Jerusalem. So God has different things to do. God has left Jeremiah in Jerusalem, but on the other hand, God takes Daniel and God takes Ezekiel to Babylon. So now in Jeremiah is there in Jerusalem, and Ezekiel and Daniel are in Babylon. Now when we look at the writings of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, what we see is Jeremiah prophesied and wrote before the destruction of Jerusalem. That is the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah also wrote, was an eyewitness to the destruction of Jerusalem, and then he wrote the book of Lamentation. So when you look at the book of Jeremiah, you know Jeremiah's writing before the destruction. When you look at the book of Lamentation, you should know Jeremiah's booking the writing the book of Lamentation, that is now it is after the destruction of Jerusalem. And then you see Daniel and Ezekiel. These men, where are they now? They have been taken to exile, and now they are in Babylon, but they are writing to the children of Judah. So even in case of the book of Ezekiel, if you look at it, the first 32 chapters, they were written before Jerusalem fell to Babylon. But when you come to chapter 33 to 48, we can see that, and it happens after the destruction of Jerusalem. So as you come to the book of the prophets, you will have to make all these interesting observation, why it was written, when it was written, even the whole book, was written before the destruction or it was written after the destruction. This is the way when you have to come to the book of the prophets. And what happens? Israel goes into exile. But after 70 years, God has promised, brings them out of exile. That is what we saw again in our Bible study in the book. What books we saw? In Ezra, in Nehemiah, and all we saw the Israel coming out of exile. Again, God is raising prophets. He is raising those prophets so that these men can give the will of God to those people who are rebuilding the temple, who are rebuilding the nation, and so that orthodoxy can be again reinstituted. And who are these men? These men were Haggai, men like Zechariah, men like Malachi. God was raising these prophets so that they could speak to those people who were coming out of exile. So God could again make them reinstitute the orthodoxy as they come out of exile. So
look at the prophet and say, oh, this prophet was speaking before the exile. This prophet was speaking during the exile. This prophet was speaking after the exile. This prophet was speaking to them to warn them so that they don't go into exile. This prophet is speaking to them, to those people who are in the exile. And this prophet is writing to those people who have come out of exile. So, the basic message of all the books, of the prophetic books which we have, can be put in three lines. The first is a warning saying, you have broken the covenant, you better repent. That is the first message. The second message is, if there is no repentance, then judgment will follow. That is the second message. And the third message is, now they have been judged, and the third message is, there is still hope beyond the judgment, and after the judgment there is also the hope of a glorious future restoration. So the whole book of all the 17 books of the prophets, the main three messages are, there is a warning, you have broken the covenant, better repent. Second is, since there is no repentance, expect the judgment. Now the third one is, now we are in judgment, there is still a hope. There is a possibility of a glorious possible restoration. And that is the three basic message you can put to all these books of the 17 books of the Old Testament, known as the writing prophets. Now before I complete, I don't think I have much time. Let me give you two important things and let me bring the study to the completion. As I have said earlier, that the Old Testament prophets, they were writing to their contemporaries, and it was forthtelling and not foretelling. But we also have to remember, the whole of the Bible, especially when you come to the Old Testament, these Old Testament prophets were looking to Jesus. Unless we have that idea that the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus, or the whole book, all the 66 books of the Bible, it is one big book pointing to Jesus, I think we will be missing the big picture. Now, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, Peter writes something about it. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 to 12. And what I would say is, Peter is reminding the people that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. Let me read to you that verse. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So he is saying, the prophets who prophesied about the grace, they searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. So, though Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises, what we find here is, God gave those Old Testament prophets limited glimpses and never the complete picture. Though they searched intently, though they investigated, they did not know the complete details, they did not know the exact time or the circumstances surrounding the suffering and the glorification of Christ. That is what Peter is reminding here. These prophets, they inquired carefully,
They searched carefully, but they didn't have the complete picture in spite of all those things they do. So they were not very sure of the time or the circumstances surrounding the suffering and glorification of Jesus Christ, though they were prophesying about that. And what we know in the coming of Jesus is the reality of the coming of Jesus far exceeded the expectations of what the Old Testament prophets wrote. And even with all those details predicted by subsequent successive prophets, when the time of Jesus came, the Jews were not ready to receive Jesus. Yeah? The Jews could not understand that this was the promised Messiah. You may think, okay, these were unbelieving Jews. No, it was not just the unbelieving Jews. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ, the men chosen by God, they did not fully understand, and Jesus had to again and again explain to them. The picture would become clearer after the early Christians had the time to reflect on the ministry of Jesus along with the scripture. So as they could reflect on the ministry of Jesus and as they compared the Old Testament writings, then they got a clearer picture. It was now they said, wasn't this written by Isaiah? Was it written by Jeremiah? Or wasn't it written by Micah? So they had a greater picture. So what I want to say is, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises, but a full understanding of that was not there when the prophets wrote about it. They had glimpses. But it was in the New Testament era, those people who were there as eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, who could see his ministry, reflect his ministry, and then when they looked at the scripture, then they got a clear picture of what is the Old Testament writings. And one theologian, Christopher Wright, writes, "So Jesus came then as the completion of the story which the Old Testament had told, and as the fulfillment of the promises which the Old Testament had declared." So Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises, though the prophets did not fully understand the picture. And that is what you have to have in mind when you come to the Old Testament books, the prophetic books. Though you may not have a full understanding, just like the prophets did not have an understanding, but as Christians, now we have the light of the New Testament. And therefore, in that light, when you look at the Old Testament, you will have a better picture than what those Old Testament saints had. The second thing which I want to again tell is, we have to have a Christocentric understanding of the Old Testament. I think all Bible scholars will agree to that. That when you look at the scripture, we will have to look at the scripture as they are pointing to Christ. We should have such an understanding, otherwise our understanding will be distorted. Now when you come to the book of Luke, near the end of the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus having an encounter with the people who are traveling from Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus. And let us see what the conversation goes on. And we see Lord Jesus Christ rebuking those people. He's telling them, "Oh, how foolish you are," because they are talking about the tomb of Jesus and the empty tomb, and these people do not understand anything. And they were telling Jesus all about what was happening there, and Jesus now tells them, "Oh, how foolish you are." Really rude words, right? These people were not understanding that, but Jesus said, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Because these people could not understand that, and Jesus is now telling them, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?" And before that he says, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared." Don't you know what the prophets have declared? Is it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer and then enter into glory? Jesus is again pointing them to the prophets. And then Jesus has not only rebuked them, but Jesus, what he tells them is, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. So, from the Old Testament, from the book of Moses, means from the book of Genesis, Jesus is again opening the scripture to them, and he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scripture. Now, one thing we do not know is, we do not know what particular chapters, what particular book Jesus was having in mind and he was explaining it to the disciples then. What we have is Jesus interpreted from Moses to the prophets all the things concerning himself about the scripture. But what Luke wants us to know is that the Old Testament points to Jesus. The Old Testament points to the suffering of Jesus Christ. And anyone paying attention to that should have noticed that these events which are happening in the life of Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of what was written in the prophets. That is what Luke is again wanting his readers to understand. Now, the New Testament portrays Jesus as the Messiah, and when you use the word Messiah, you should know that it has a rich background in the Old Testament. So, as Christians who are having the light of the New Testament, when we come to the prophetic books, we should have a better understanding of the presentation and the description of the Messiah which is there in the Old Testament books. Now, a warning. While we must recognize the Christocentric thrust of the Old Testament as a whole, we have to be careful that we do not try to find Christ in every scripture. That is my take on that. Don't try to find scripture in every verse. You don't have to do that. We need not try to find new in ways to interpret passages, every passage, so that the text points to Christ. If the text warrants it, definitely we should point to Christ. But we have to have the understanding, the whole Testament as a whole one, it points to Christ. That you should have a clear understanding. But don't take every individual verse, every individual passage and say, oh, this points to Christ. It may not be. But they may not be even a Christological passage. But they as a passage, they still help you to understand who Jesus Christ is. So don't try to take any verse in isolation and say, I want this verse to point to Christ. And don't try to invent ways where they can point to Christ. That's not the way of understanding the Old Testament. But the Old Testament as a whole points to Christ. We should have a Christocentric understanding of the Old Testament. But don't take individual passages, individual verses in isolation, and then try to find Christ in that. Because sometimes Christians, in the eagerness to point to Christ, they make such a mistake. But I think we have to be careful in doing that. So, this is what we have to look at when we come to the books of the prophets. As I said, there are 17 books. 5 books are called as major prophets. 12 are called as minor prophets. Some of the books were written to Israel. Some of them were written to Judah. Some of those books were written before the exile. Some were written during the exile. Some were written after the exile. All these things you will have to have. And some of the books, even within the same book, 32 chapters will be written during the exile and something will be after that. If you have probably a commentary, if you have a good Bible dictionary or something which will help you in the study of the prophets, use those resources. Otherwise, when you don't have that understanding, the books of prophets, the 17 books, can be a big confusion. I think many Christians ignore when they come to the prophetic because they find it so difficult. They just read it. They may not know what is Hosea, what is Micah, what is Obadiah, what is Nahum, Joel, Jonah. All these things look at this like the same.
and they just go on quickly so that they can finally say, oh, I have studied the Old Testament. Look at the context, see why it was written, where it was written, to whom it was written. With such an understanding, I think we will have a better clue of what is there in the Old Testament.